But I am glad to be here this morning before you. I'm glad to see everyone. Pastor Jeff is not with us this morning. They are traveling right now. And so we'll pray for, you know, just traveling mercies and that they would have a wonderful time. For those of you that don't know, I just want to remind you that tomorrow is Pastor Jeff's birthday. So if you haven't had an opportunity to bless him, make sure you bless him. Send him a card. Send him a text, a Facebook, you know, one of those picture GIFs and GIFs, however you want to say it. Just make sure you shout out to him and let him know that he's loved and appreciated because it is his birthday tomorrow. And then not only that, I just want to say that last night, if you were not able to be here yesterday, we had the old Ohana Outreach, and man, oh man, did it go wonderful. As a matter of fact, some people might not be here because they were here last night pouring all out last night, you know what I'm saying? So they might be like exhausted. Man, it went excellent. And can I just take 1 second to honor the woman of God who took the time out and really poured all of herself into that in excellence for God as a servant, Miss Olahana. You did an amazing job last night. Let's give her a hand. I know she wouldn't want that, but you know what? Like, I know that her heart is to serve God. And so to just give her a pat on the back, I know that she's going to turn around and give it right back to God, right? Because that's what we're supposed to do. But man, it was so wonderful. I've been to multiple seminars and different things, pastoral conventions and whatnot. And the goal nowadays is that, you know, most churches want to have a multicultural church, right? A while back, it probably was the goal was to have a biracial church, right? Just to be okay with some certain things and certain people. But now we want to be multicultural. And when we say that, that means that there are multiple cultures being represented, and that has to be done in action and not in just words. And so I am blessed and so happy to say that we are a multicultural church because we allow the cultures that are represented here to be represented throughout our ministry. And that is a goal here at the Body Dayton. And then last but not least, before I go into the Word of God, I want to, again, just put out there, we have, I set forth a challenge a few weeks back that the Body Dayton would, that we would sow a seed into the surrounding areas of $4,000. $4,000 in the way of gas and groceries. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to buy up grocery cards or gas cards or, you know, ones that can be both. And we're just going to plant any and everywhere we possibly can. We are going to sow seed. We are going to be a blessing to any and everybody that we can possibly think of. Why? Because the enemy is telling us that our God cannot take care of us right now. And that is a lie. That is an absolute lie. In the midst of famine, God rose up, okay, and fed a people, all right? In the midst of just throughout history, there have been moments in time in our nation and others where things have just went sideways, and God has always shown up to take care of his people, all right? And we want to be a part of that continuously, being vessels to be used to do that. So if you are on board with that and you want to be a part of that, you can give the same way that you did offering. You can do it there in the side boxes, or you can text it in, or you can go on the app, and there is actually a place that is designated to give toward that. So I want to say that because as we go into this message, I've kind of been in the same place for the last 2 weeks, and Pastor Jeff, we both have been just really pushing one very main topic from day one, and that is us as the body Dayton going after the one, right? We want to go out and reach the one. And there are just some things that we've been preaching on to get us to the place where we are ready and prepared to do that. And me, over the last couple weeks, where I've been is hopefully helping us to realize that it is not about us. Everything we do, the things that are going on in our lives, all of that, it's really not about us. As much as we believe it is, as much as we want to believe it is, it's just not. And what it's about is God, all of it. You're waking up, you're living, you're going to sleep. It all is wrapped up and surrounded by what our Father has set and prepared and has planned for his will, right, in our lives and those lives around us. If you will, go ahead and pull your Bibles up. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 49 today. That's going to be our primary scripture, and then we'll move on from there. I'm not sure. There is one section of the scripture that I may not have on the screen for you, but most of it will be there of our primary scripture, and then there will be a few that I'll be reading. So you can follow along with me in your Bible apps or in your Bible. We're going to have a few other ones, but that is our starting one, Isaiah chapter 49. I'll be in the Amplified version. It's like AMPC. I forget what the C stands for, but that's the one I'll be reading out of. Before I get started, though, let's just pray. Lord God, I come into you right now. I thank you and I praise you for an opportunity to stand here on the stage behind this pulpit and to preach your word. I ask and pray, Lord God, that you would use me, Lord God, to minister to your people, that they would hear your voice, Lord God, that there would be less of me, Holy Spirit, and more of you. Fill me up, use me, and I step aside, I submit myself to you as a tool just to carve and to shape the hearts of your people today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, and we all said, amen. All right, so Isaiah chapter 49. Again, please remember that everything that I'm saying today is, it's all steeped in and viewed from the lens of it's not about us, right? It's not about me and it's not about you, but it is about our Father in heaven. So let's read this now, because this is, I believe, going to paint a perfect picture of what it is that I'm saying. Last week, I came strong, and I just really shouted over and over and over, it's not about you and it's not about me. Today, I want to talk just a little bit more of why that is, and then what it is about and why it's about that, right? Why is it about God only and foremost, all right? So Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to start at verse 1. And we're going to go down from there. Yes, sounds good. Listen to me, O isles and coastlands, and hearken, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He has named my name. Pause. Is that the right version? It is. Mine reads, no, it is right one. Okay, let's do that again. Listen to me, O isles and coastlands, and hearken, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He has named my name. Continue. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me, and made me a polished arrow. In his quiver has he kept me close and concealed me. And the Lord said to me, you are my servant, Israel, you who strive with God and with men and prevail, in whom I will be glorified. So, is there more there? Okay, I'm sorry. Then I said, I'm just going to read it from here, that way I'll know. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity, pride, uselessness. However, my justice is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God is my strength. So, what we see there very clearly, I believe, is one thing that is repeated. He repeats over and over. One second. Because I want to point this out. When you go back to the beginning of that, in the Message version, it reads something like this. And I'm just going to read the first part of what he says. He says, he gave me speech. He kept his hand on me. He made me his strength, his straight arrow. And he hid me. And then he said, you're my dear servant. There's a few things that happens repeatedly right there. And it's, he did something for me. Are you following? God is constantly and repeatedly doing something for us, or so it appears. So it appears. But is he really doing something for us? If you were here last week, you will know that I made it very clear that it's not about us. So what is it for? Here it says in the Message, I'm reading the same scripture, but it's in the Message verse, and it says, you're my dear servant, Israel, through whom I'll shine. Through whom I'll shine. This is God. So when it gets down to it, we realize the things that he does in our lives are for the sheer purpose of him shining through. What happens when you shine a light in dark? I know you've heard this 1,000 times because we love to preach it, right? And then usually whenever somebody's telling you that, they follow it up with setting the lamp on the hill and not covering it, right? But we all know that that lamp and that light that is talked about is always Jesus, of course, but it's Jesus living in and through us. So if you really want a light to shine through, sometimes you want to put it in the what? Darkest place possible. Because you don't take and turn on a flashlight when the sun is out. It's not typically useful, as useful. But there was a time when we had vehicles and we would drive our vehicles and we'd go on those nice, you know, hilly mountain country, whatever you want to call them, back roads. And we'd go for a nice ride. And I think somewhere along the line that engineers realized that you might hit those areas that were a little bit darker than you were expecting. And when you went through there, you know, people are slamming into deers and hitting animals and so on and so forth. So they came up with this idea of what? The running daylights. So when you're driving along and it's a beautiful day and you just happen to hit a dark road, a darker back road, shaded, I should call it, a shaded area. I like that, actually, when you think about it, a shaded area. Just put yourself in that right there a shaded area. When you're living life and everything's good and the sun is out, do you occasionally hit a shaded area? And when you hit that shaded area, there's something that's needed, a little more light. So the engineers put what are called daytime running lights on cars. So when you hit those areas, you still got light so you can see the things that might jump out in front of you, the things that you weren't really planning for that, you know, just instantly happen. You know, the deer that's standing on the side of the road, you know, runs across. And then you realize because you got those daytime running lights that there were two other ones sitting there waiting to come across as well. What am I trying to say? I don't want to stray too far away from where I'm going. The point is this, is it's not about us, but God is, because God is there in our lives acting as the light. And if we find ourselves in dark moments, whether it's sin or just the enemy's attacks, storms, God is always there and available in our lives. But it's not about us. Because when that light shines through our dark moment, he can be seen that much more. Are you following me right now? I'm going to come back to the daytime running lights because I have something I just want to share with you there. But I'm going to continue to look at this scripture through the message just a little bit more. So he repeated it, says, he did this. He made me straight. He made me straight, right? He kept me. He kept his hand on me to protect me. He gave me speech. He done all of these things, and then it gets down and it says, because he will shine through me. Then it says, but I said, I've worked for nothing. I've nothing to show for a life of hard work. Have you ever felt like that? Like I'm not doing enough. Last week I talked to you and I just kind of ran through, and it's like sometimes we're like, man, what is God doing? Why ain't he doing this? And why is he not helping me here? And why is he not helping me there? Well, because it's not about you. It's not about me. He is setting up a moment. He is setting up an opportunity. And here's the thing, if we would understand and realize his faithfulness, right? Because since day one, he's been doing and doing and doing for you and for me. So why would you ever expect for him to stop it? What if we realized that this is yet another opportunity for him to shine through instead of a negative? Man, how would that revolutionize our mindset? How would that change our thinking? Can I give you a short little testimony? I just said it to you. I told you my car has COVID. And I'm telling you right now that yesterday, as we left the Ohana Outreach, we were flying in the sky. Man, that was good. That was a blessing. You know, we're emotional. Our friend and our partner in ministry just nailed it. Like, man, it just can't go no better. And then he was like, you're right. Because your car now has COVID. And I mean, we went to pull out of the parking lot, and the car is like, and I'm like, what? What is that? And the engine light was on. I mean, our engine light stays on. That's just one of the decorations, I feel like, in our car. We get something fixed and it's there nonetheless. And this time it started blinking. And I was like, oh, great. It's jumped to Christmas ahead of us. And I'm like, now we've got blinking lights in the car. And Amanda's like, I don't think we're supposed to drive it when it's blinking like that. And I'm like, are you sure? I think it's just another phase of the light. So I prayed, I turned the car off, you know, when we get sick, we pray, right? Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing. And sometimes I raise out of the bed and I'm absolutely fine. And sometimes the sickness, it'll fade and it'll be there again. This time I prayed, turned the car off, turned the car back on, and it wasn't blinking anymore. I was like, well, we're going to get home. I put it in drive and it started blinking again. And I was like, okay, I don't know what to do. And she started calling people. I was thinking about who I could call. And I said, you know what? Stop. I was like, let's just pray real quick. I was like, Lord God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know what you're doing here, but whatever. Whatever you want to do. I was like, we're going to drive home, and I'll just take it easy. So we drove home slow all the way. You know, I'm pulling over, letting people go by me because I'm going under the speed limit. We got home, and we went back to work trying to figure out what to do and how to fix it. And I said, babe, I was like, we just got to let God do this. And she was like, oh, I'm not concerned at all. I am not concerned at all. I know that God's going to take care of this too. And I was like, right on, right on. Like, that's it. I was like, but let's not just be happy with that. And this is where I got it right. Only because of God is who he is. And because I've been preaching that it's not about us. I said, let's not just thank him for the fact that he's going to do something, but let's ask him what he wants to do out of this. God, what are you wanting to do here? Because I know that everything that happens in my life is an opportunity for you to shine through. So how do you want to shine through in this situation? And that was our prayer. How do you want to shine through in this situation? What is your purpose? How can we bring you glory? How can we serve you in this moment? Man, I'm telling you what, that felt good. That felt good. Man, it was like, you know what, babe, I got peace. We just gonna go to bed and you know it's gonna be okay. I was like, absolutely. She woke up this morning, went before God. God poured out again to her, gave her scripture and just spoke to the situation. And I was like, all right, well. In my mind, we're still going on vacation. But if we don't, I don't care. I really don't care. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not going to sweat over it. Because guess what? He's still God. He is still God. I don't have any preconceived plans. Hear me. I need you to hear me. I'm preaching still. I'm not just telling you a story. I need you to understand. Because I know how we think. I know how we think. You know, it's like, well, God's going to do it. It's going to be okay. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, maybe he'll do this. Maybe he'll do that. Maybe he'll do this, right? Because really, really, we want something. We really want what we want. But we've learned how to talk how we're supposed to talk. You know? Oh, God's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. Back way back in here, it's like, he's going to make sure that we go on our vacation and everything's going to be okay. Better yet, you know, you start getting specific with it, right? He's going to just send somebody with an airplane to take us where we need to go and then chauffeur us around. Hallelujah. Because that's how he'll really get glory. Is it though? You see what I'm saying? Like right now, I'm just being real with you. I want to get right in where we usually typically live. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about like I wanted to fight those thoughts. That's why in my prayer I said, God, how can I serve you in this moment? There was intentionality in my prayer in that moment. I was combating the enemy. Because the enemy was still trying to feed me the same old thoughts that, you see what I'm saying? He was trying to feed me those ideas. Because a lot of times what we do is we try to make our will God's will. And watch this. This is where I'm going to bring it around. That's where we mess up. That's where we get messed up. Because when his will, our will, don't happen, we like, what was you doing, God? And God was like, that was never my plan. But I was in prayer, and I thought I heard you say that. No, you didn't. That was just the back of your mind that's always going, planning, even when you say you trusted me. You know what I'm saying? God, I trust you. How can I do this? God, make a way. I can call this person, and this person. And I understand that it is a thin line. Like that space is a very, very, I think it's one of those shadows. Remember the shadow I was talking about? It's a shadow. It's not necessarily a dark place. It's just a shadow. And God's like, I still want to shine right here. I still have an opportunity to shine right here. But still we ask the question, man, here, this is me I'm talking about. I've just shared where I'm at and what's going on. And still, this morning I woke up and I'm like, I'm good. I really am. I really, really am. But can you just let me in on it? Like, I'm just like, what are you doing here? I'm just curious. Because maybe if I could see the shine, it would make it that much easier. But it doesn't. He's already given me a peace. I'm talking about that peace where it's like, and then 5 seconds later, the devil's like, but, and you're like, I know, right? Like, I really am okay with this, God. And now I'm not again. Okay, so, right? That's how quick it is with us. But this is what I know, and I truly know this. He's working in this situation. He's moving in this situation. This is a part of his plan. I know it is. I've come to know now that it's a part of his plan. But I'm just now coming to the realization that it's not about me. Like, you may have come to the conclusion that I know God's working. But you may still have at some point still been thinking it was all about you. I know God's working. He's just trying to work in me. I know God's working. He just wants to show me he can do it. I know God's working, right? It's always about me, but it's not. What if I know God's working and somebody's about to watch him do something different? I know God's working and somebody just needs to see somebody else stand in the midst of a trial. Let's see. Last week, I came before you and I spit out a few different Bible stories as we were going along. I brought up the Red Sea. Remember that? I was like, man, like God does what he does because he does what he does. And it's not about us. I was like, it don't matter. Like when he split the Red Sea, he didn't split the Red Sea for the Israelites. Why? Because they were losers. Right? I said something to that effect. And then I brought up the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who got thrown in the furnace. And I was like, it wasn't about them. He wanted to show the king and all the people that he was one true God. No God could do what he could do. Do you see? Like, so you get that. You get that. But let's just look at something. Let's look at scripture. Because I ran through those so quick. I want to make sure that you know the scripture to back it up. I know you trust me and I love that and I appreciate that. But I want you to hear the word of God. I want you to be able to go to the word of God and get that assurance, that reassurance. Okay? I don't want you to live this life based on what Pastor Dwayne says. I want you to know it and have it for yourself because there are going to be opportunities and moments when God wants to shine through your life and he's going to need you to be able to combat the enemy with the word, right? So in Psalms chapter 106, verses 7 through 8, this is not going to be up on the screen. But it says right here, it says, our fathers in Egypt did not understand nor appreciate your miracles. Pause. This is Psalms, I'm telling you. So The Red Sea already happened. They are now looking back on it, years away, looking back on it. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand nor appreciate your miracles. They did not remember the abundance of your mercies, nor imprint your loving kindness on their hearts. They didn't remember the abundance of his mercies, nor did they save or imprint his loving kindness on their heart. But they were rebellious at the sea, at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. For his name's sake, that he might make his supreme power known. Now we're going to jump ahead again. We're going to go to Romans. Romans chapter 9. Now we all know that Pastor Dwayne loves some Romans. I love some Romans. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. And right here, it's the same story continues. So now we've moved further ahead into the future or into the present. Romans chapter 9, verse 17, it says, For the scriptures says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, to display my power in dealing with you. Okay, now this is, that dealing with is put in there. But I raised you up for this very purpose, to display my power in dealing with you. Pause. Oh, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I don't know if it's because I've been disciplined from God so many times. But I read that differently, you know? I was like, okay, you know, like he said, I'm doing this. I done raised you up so that I can show people how I deal with people like you. What? Now I'm telling you, I'm saying some stuff that might rub some people wrong. I get it. But it's the truth. Let's go back and I'm on, because see, none of us put ourselves, you know, I'm not Pharaoh. That's not me. Maybe you might have some tendencies. You know, maybe I might have some tendencies. I raised you up for this very purpose. He set him up. He set him up for the purpose of being able to display his power to a nation of people and to every other people. Some of us don't like that. But what if you changed your mind to like that, to appreciate it? What if we begin to appreciate the way he does things? I know I'm asking you to do something that just don't sound right. I get it. I've torn and tumbled and struggled through this. That's why it said in the beginning, I'll go back to that. It says, and so that my name would be proclaimed in all the earth. He did that with him so that his name would be proclaimed in all the earth. Then it goes on, I'm going to go back to Ezekiel chapter 20. And it says this, but I acted for my name's sake, that it would not be profaned in the sight of the pagan nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. Pause. He brought Israel out. Everybody seen it. And then Israel still acted a fool. And everybody got word of it. Are you following me? Everybody seen him be all powerful. And then everybody seen his creation, his people act a fool. Now, God is not me. God is not me. So I'm just going off what I'm reading. God is not me. I get that. Last week, I talked to you about a kid in the grocery store who was turning up, right? Acting out. Now, some of us parents, you know, we might get embarrassed. And we might say, I'm about to beat your tail because you just embarrassed me. But that ain't why we should do that. We should not discipline our children because we're embarrassed. That's not love. So I'm not telling you that God was embarrassed. That's not what I'm saying. But it says very clearly here, I acted for my name's sake. He's not embarrassed. He's God. But he can't have people getting confused because that's what we do. He can't have people getting confused, so he has to be very clear about what's going on and about his actions. I acted for my name's sake that it would not be profaned in the sight of the pagan nations, in whose sight I had brought them out of slavery. Over and over and over, God continues to say, for my name's sake. He has to make clear that I am God. And there is none above me. No matter if they act like a fool or not. And as a matter of fact, I need you to know that I am a God that disciplines. I am a just God. Because see, some people get confused. And they're like, well, how can they do that? Now I'm gonna take a quick stray. I'm gonna stray off here. This is not God is punishing you because you did something wrong. That is not what I'm saying. I mean, that is what I'm saying, but that's not always the case. Because at the time when the Israelites were being saved through the Red Sea, at the moment they weren't acting up. Would everybody agree with that? I mean, we don't know, we weren't there, but it doesn't talk about them acting up right there. It just says they were rebellious. I'm standing here on stage and I'm telling you right now, I'm rebellious, but I'm not rebelling to you right now. You're not seeing my rebellious actions displayed right now, but we're talking about God who knows. So he brings them out and then he disciplines them. But what if he disciplined you before he brought you out? What if where you were part of your discipline? All I'm saying is we need to quit making it about us. The way we make it about us is we figure it out. It's about what we can think. It's about the way we translate it, the way it looks to us, what it's about concerning us. What if we stop thinking so much about us and start thinking more about him? What do you want to do? What is this? What is this? What do you want people to see from this? How can I bring you glory in this? You see what I'm saying? Not, well, what is he doing to me here? Why has he done this to me? Why did he let this happen? Thank the Lord he blessed me. Hallelujah, he gave me another car. No, what if it's hallelujah, he gave me another car so that I could do? One time in my life, I prayed again, not knowing, the Spirit of God did something to me and I got it right. We were looking for a car and I said, Lord God, I want to serve you. I want to be able to transport people to and from church because it was something that a need that had come across my path. And I was like, Lord God, I want to be able to do this. When we get this car, will you please make a way for me to do that? I was like, I don't even know what we need. I'm a researcher, okay? I like to do my due diligence, and I like to go through and look at everything I look at, know everything I need to know, and all that good stuff like that. And then I go make a choice, and I go make a decision, and I make a purchase or whatever the case is. And I went through all of that, and I still kept coming up empty. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing here? I feel like this is you. So what do you want to do? God, what do you want to do? I went into the car lot, and I was like, I need a car. He said, what are you looking for? I told him, and they begin to show me the car. And I was like, I need something bigger. And he's like, well, there's this. And he showed me another car. And I was like, well, hold on to it. I was like, but I don't want that. I really like this. This is what I was thinking. But that's not going to fit my family. So I kind of need this. And in the midst of my selfishness, and I'm telling you, we're at the car place. God was like, tell him you want both. And I was like, maybe you forgot I don't make that much money. I was like, now, because of my training through various men in my life on how to go purchase the car, I was like, you know what? I think I want you to get me two cars. I want you to get me both of these. I need you to make that happen. And he was like, well, looking at your credit and looking at this and looking at that, I don't know that we can do that. And I was like, listen to me. I was like, I'm about to buy two cars off of you. You can figure this out. And I don't want to go over this price right here. Do you understand that? I don't want to go over this price. I need you to get me both these cars for that price. And the guy was like, hold on a second. He walked away. Long story short, I walked out of there with two vehicles. I walked out of there with two vehicles. I don't even care about the two vehicles. Understand. What I cared about is at the time there was a transition happening in my life where I needed to be at church at god-awful hours in the morning. And I had a wife with babies that didn't need to be there that early. And I was able to pick people up and take them to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? God made a way. And because I prayed the right prayer, and because my initial thought wasn't about me and my family, he took care of my family. He took care of my family, and he took care of the people that I wanted to be able to take to and from the church. It wasn't about me. The cars got paid for, paid off early, the whole nine yards, everything was taken care of. And it wasn't about me. I didn't realize that at the time, you know? I was excited at the time about being able to purchase two cars. I could go round and round and round about the good and the bad and the things that happen, and we need to not think about it being about us. But I want to round third here. And I want to bring it all the way home. And for those of you that don't know what home is Jesus. Okay? So we're about to round third, and we're about to head right into Jesus. I'm going to go back to that scripture that we read in the beginning. And I want to look. And it says this. I'm going to read it in the message. It says, but I said, I've worked for nothing. I've nothing to show for a life of hard work. Nevertheless, I'll let God have the last word. I'll let him pronounce his verdict. And now God says, this God who took me in hand from the moment of my birth to be his servant, to bring Jacob back home to him, to set a reunion for Israel. What an honor for me in God's eyes. All of the protection, all of the words, all of the direction, it's not just about us. It's about him and what he loves and what he cares about is us. If I would have just came out and said that at the beginning, you'd have been like, but I never would have pulled you away from you. I wanted to make sure that I pulled you way far and good away from you. I need to be pulled far away from Dwayne so that I can really understand what God is doing. I need to really know that it's not about me so that I can focus on what it is about. Once I realize it is about him, then I can see what he cares about. I can see what he wants to do. I can see how he's moving. And I can see where I fit in all of that. Look at that. I find purpose now. If I'm walking in his glory, and I told you guys a long time ago when I was preaching another message, I remember I started to talk about the glory a little bit, and I said, that's another message. And man, I'm feeling like that message is coming. I feel like that message is coming real soon. Because check it out. If he's getting glory for your life, if he's getting glory out of the things that are coming out of your life, then that means you're walking in glory. See, I don't want to, we're not ready to go back there yet, because once we go there, then it becomes about us again, or so it seems, right? I'm walking in glory. Man, I'm basking in. No. It's his glory. It just so happens that what's going on in your life is bringing it to him. What a place to be. What a place to be where the things that are happening in your life are bringing him glory. Somebody's looking on going, that God of theirs is really good. Man, that God of theirs is really just, even if that means that he's kicking our butt. But they're thinking they deserve that butt kicking, right? Has anybody ever thought that you deserved a butt kicking? They have in my case. And when I got it, they weren't necessarily happy that I was getting a butt kicking, but they were happy because they knew that the God that they trust is just. That's important to people. I'm not always looking for somebody who's been doing bad, who's been getting good stuff, to be hurt, but it sure is nice to know that God did see it. Now, I know that's just me. I know that's just me. Wouldn't none of y'all ever be sitting back like, look it, they got a new car. I know they was doing wrong. You know, like, I know none of you would do that. That's just me. That's just me. But I don't need to stand around and look at those people, because guess what? I have come to the realization that my God is just. Because through his word and over the years, unfortunately, I have seen him do some things to some people that deserved it. Out of love, though. Out of love. So then that helps me to have a healthy fear, which is what? Wisdom. Man, do you see how that just happened? Man, now I'm wise. Hallelujah. Look, and there it is, right back to me again. No, Jesus, help me. Help me. Here's the deal. Sometimes in our quest to kind of walk this thing out, you heard how quick and easy it is for me to be, you know, it's about God and then it's about me. And it's about God and it's about me. It's so easy for us to flip that switch. It's so easy. But check this out. Another way we do it is this. Anybody ever here ever been like, I'm like Peter, you know? Or man, I got a David calling on my life. Man, I'm fighting Goliath. Hallelujah. I'm going to throw my stones like David and take them out. Now, listen, I've preached that message. I promise. So I'm talking about me right now. I'm talking about me now because I'll be preaching those messages. And here's a little bit of a flaw of what we're doing there. And I heard this somewhere and I was like, man, that's good. That's good because it was lining up with everything that I was saying. I was like, man, that's too good. We're making ourselves heroes in the Bible. I'm fighting Goliath. The only problem is we're not David, right? Why? Because our Goliath doesn't seem to be going down with one shot. Yeah. I know that one might have, but I'm not trying to, listen, I'm right there with you. Like, Lord God, we're going to take out this Goliath. This giant in my life is going to go down in the name of Jesus. Okay, God, we're going to take it again. We're going to go again at it. We're going to just pray about it. We're going to pray about it. Okay, David had 5 stones, so maybe we own 3 now. We're going to give this a go again. We got at least 2 more chances. No, we're not David. We're not David. We just have to understand that God is a giant slayer. That's the key. See, that's the key. If we understand who he is, if we make it about him, whether our giant is slain or not, he's still God and he still can. And if we understand that, we won't be discouraged or frustrated. We will just embrace what he's doing. And we will ask him, well, if you're not going to get glory by slaying this giant in one go, how do you want to get glory, God? How can I serve you in this moment? We're not Peter. We're not. We're not Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. We're not. Well, here's the fact of the matter. They're not even the heroes in none of those stories. David's not the hero in that story. We've made him the hero of the story. But even David was sitting there like, you uncircumcised, filthy, dirty, no good, big head having giant. Who are you to come against my God? There's your hero. God is the hero in every one of these stories. What if we made sure to make him the hero instead of trying to be the hero? What if we made sure he was the hero and even instead of trying to be a part of the script, right? Because sometimes we'd be trying to, you know, where can I get into this story? Hey, I'm in the story, right? Because then it becomes about me again. I'm rounding in. I'm coming to a close. We are none of these things. We are not the hero. We're not Moses who held his hand up. But we all know that Moses ain't the one that split the Red Sea. Who are we then? Who are we? We are the Israelites. That's who we are. We are the people who need God. Look in every one of these situations. David stepped in front of the giant for who? the Israelites. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood their ground and prayed and got thrown in the fire. Because of who? The captured Israelites. They were trying to stand and do what they were called to do as symbols, as, you know, as leaders. There's so much going on in these stories. But there's only one hero. But there's always the people who need the hero. That's who we are. We are the flawed, rebellious, forgetful people who need help. Last scripture I'm going to read. It's a long one. It's Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to just stick with me here, and I'm going to close. I promise this is the last portion. Please give me your ears. This is why I, Paul, am in jail for Christ, having taken up the cause of you outsiders, so-called. I take it that you're familiar with the part I was given in God's plan. Hold on. Listen to the way he's saying this. He understands it's not about him. He understands. Listen to the way he says this. I take it that you're familiar with the part I was given, hallelujah, in God's plan for including everybody. I got the inside story on this from God himself, as I just wrote you in brief. This is why I, Paul, with me. We're going to make sure we hear this. Yes, sir, enemy. We are going to hear this. All right. Come on. I'm going to start back. I take it that you're familiar with the part I was given in God's plan for including everybody. I got the inside story on this from God himself, as I just wrote you in brief. As you read over what I have written to you, you'll be able to see for yourselves into the mystery of Christ. None of our ancestors understood this. Only in our time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of this new order. The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. This is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me. A real surprise. God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. I was the least qualified. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. Paul nails it. Guys, this is it. I'm not going to come before you next week again talking about it's not about us. I've said that. I've told you who it is about. And now I've just told you why. God is trying to bring people to Him. It's not, that's not new news. It's not new news. It's just sometimes we get so caught up in us, we kind of forget it, you know? And if I'm honest, this just hit me. That's why God don't show us the big picture. That just hit me. How many times have you prayed and been like, God, just show me what you're doing? I said it just a few minutes ago in the message. And he like, no. Because if I show you what I'm doing, you're going to make it all about you again. Come on. Who here has received a word from God? And it's been so clear. And you're like, okay, God, thank you. And it's a good thing, right? The first time somebody, I'll never forget, I was young. And Pastor Cobb was his name. He came to me, he said, I was young. I don't even know how old I was. I was under 10 years old. And he said, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to preach the word of God. And I was like, I'm going to be a preacher? I like that. Why did I like it so much at such a young age? Because I liked him. Every week, without fail, Pastor Cobb gave me a 50-cent piece. He would give me a 50-cent piece. He worked at the post office. I didn't even know what that meant. But the post office is the best job in the world, as far as I knew. Because he must have money because he gave me a 50-cent piece every week. He drove a nice car. Back then, I didn't know what a, what do you call the, where you keep the car for 30,000 miles? A lease. I didn't know what a lease was, but that's what he was doing. He was leasing cars. So he got a new one all the time. And I was like, man, I'm going to be a pastor? Let's go. Oh. Man, did I do a number on me? I did a number on me because I grew up. Do you see what I did? God gave me a word. He spoke a big picture into my, he let me see. He let me see the big picture, and I took and I painted over top of the picture with untruths. Pastor has money, has nice cars. You see what I'm saying? And it didn't help none when one of the biggest pastors that, you know, I sat under, somebody came along and just gave him a Cadillac Escalade. I was like, yes! That's what it is right there. Woo, woo. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it was all about me. I mean, I got it enough to be like, but I know I need to take care of people sometimes. You know? I'll do that while I'm driving in my Escalade, you know. I'll pay for lunch because I'm going to be paid. You feel me? I painted all these untruths over the picture that God had. What if I had seen it the way he sees it? It still would have been just as beautiful. I'm a little kid. And he says, you're going to be a pastor. And I, and if I turned around and I seen the people in his congregation broken and hurt, needing salvation. And I said, I'm going to help people like this one day. And then years later, my other mentor in a church triple the size of that one, preaching the word of God, seeing young people be saved, doing outreaches, connecting the community to God. What if I seen that and been like, that's what I got in store for me. That's awesome. What about all the hurt and the pain, the lies and the backstabbing, the long nights, the tears, the lonely feelings? The scripture where it says, here I am, Lord, send me. It's got a lot of different, it's got a different spin, a different sound to it when you look at it through the lens of it's not about you. I want to challenge you. I want to leave you with a challenge, and it's this. I left you with the same challenge last week, but this time, maybe I've given you more of the picture, enough of the picture that you don't need to paint over it with untruths. It's all about God. And it's about him getting glory from the lives that we live. But the glory that he gets from our lives is for the purpose of showing us and anybody else that he is the one true God, capable, able, faithful, powerful. Because we all standing on the same level. It's not like Christians and unsaved people. It's all of us. He wants every single soul. Every single soul. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to look at our lives through your lens. No, I'm not even going to say that. We can't handle that. Help us to see our lives through the lens that we are not at the center of the universe. You are. So it's not about what we want. It's not about our comfort. It's not about us. It's about you. It's about going after what you love. It's about going after what's in our communities, in our household, at work. It's about wanting what you want, loving what you love. God, help us to view our lives through that lens. So that everything in our lives, every area of our lives, our time, our finances, our emotions, our health, everything is for you. Everything is for you to do what you will, to reach your loved and most dearly cherished creation, the insiders and the outsiders, the up and the down, the in and the out, the ugly and the pretty. God, you just want to love on who you want to love on. Help us to surrender every part of ourselves so that can happen. I pray right now. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anybody in here, or if you're on Facebook under the sound of my voice, watching this later or whatever, and you don't know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't made a decision to surrender all of yourself to Him, if that's you and you want to make that decision today, can you raise your hand for me? You want to commit every part of who you are to God today because it hasn't been. Maybe, and don't get me wrong, maybe you know Him. Maybe you've said the prayer of salvation, but you know right now that you have not committed all of you to Him. Would you raise your hand? If you're on Facebook, put it in the comments. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. It's okay. Because today, that is going to change. You saying that today, you taking that stand today, is going to be the difference in your life going forward. There's been a change that has started now, right now. There has been a change that has started right here. Don't allow the enemy to tell you ever again that it hasn't started. It is started and it will be finished, but it will not be finished. I need you to know this. It won't be finished until the day that you see His face. So you can forever look the enemy in his face and say, you know what? I may not be perfect and I may not be right, but number one, it's not about me. And He is forever changing me. He's making me right. He's making me new. Lord God, you've seen, you know the persons who want a change. They want to submit and commit to you 100%. God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit, through your Holy Spirit, that you would begin to change their thinking, change the way they see the world that they live in. Help them to begin to look through the lens that I've preached about today. That it's not about them. I pray right now that they would begin to, on a daily basis, ask you, what can I do, God? What do you want me to do that will bring you glory? How can I serve you? God, I pray right now that as they do that, your Holy Spirit would continue to guide them, that they would hear your voice clearly. They would trust you, that they would grow to know that you are God, that you are the only God that can do what you can do. I pray this right now in your Son, Jesus' name. God, I thank you and I praise you for each and every one of these people. Be with them. Spirit of God, lead them, guide them, protect them as you always have. And give them opportunities. Give them opportunities to spread your word, to announce your name in every place, in every situation, to let their lives speak volumes about who you are. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all. Thank you on Facebook for joining us today. God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day.